Okay, well, why don't you, let's see, I'm talking now with Marion Dunn at 5832 Wallace, and we'll just go from here. I think it's working. Yeah, that's great. Okay.
So you're going to ask me some questions, is that it? Question,
or you can just ramble, you know, and then I'll fill in with questions if there's some things I need to know. How's that? You were started about, you built your house
in
about when, do you think?
Well, we bought the lot in January 1946, jointly, and we were married in December 46.
Ah.
And during that summer, we cleared the lot. And in those days, you got a fire permit and you could burn the stuff. And we had it all piled up in the middle of the lot. And I'd got a fire permit up at the fire hall near 37, near Carisdale School. And the thing was, we had a hose attached to Mrs. Mather's next door. But it was really burning hot. Somebody came and... Somebody behind here complained to the police, probably justifiably. I mean, we were young in those
days. Yes, reckless.
And he asked if I had a fire permit, and I pulled it out of my pocket, and it was all singed.
Oh, no.
But I did have the permit. Yes. I had the letter of the law had been obeyed.
Right.
But all he told me was to no more, don't pile any more on it. And so we just pulled it apart. But we could easily have set something on fire. It was a July day.
Oh, my goodness.
So anyhow,
what were you burning? The wood that was
We cleared the lot, just the slashings.
Oh yeah,
Was a second growth on there.
That's right.
Mostly vine maples.
Oh really?
And I can't think of anything else because it burned very easily, and it has rotted now. But when we came here, there was an old stump from a first growth. A cedar tree.
Uh-huh.
You could see the wedge up high where the stump had been.
Oh.
And the children used to play under that. And they were, it was old Mrs. Rabbit and Peter Rabbit and Flopsy Mopsy and Cottontail. They lived at the foot of an old fir tree.
That's right.
As I say, that has since rotted away. But it was a great little plaything for the children.
Yeah.
And we planned this. We drew up the plans for this house, and then Bill, an engineer, put them into a working blueprint.
Oh, great.
And we hired people to, carpenters, to get it ready for the subtrades. I mean, they poured the concrete basement. And we lived in the basement for 3 years after the subtrades had filled in the top. And so Bill wired it, and he also put the water piping in. And our oldest girl was born down there.
Oh, for goodness
sake. Well, she was born in the hospital.
Oh, yeah,
but,
while you were there.
But she was 11 months old when we moved upstairs.
Oh.
It was April the 1st, 1951. We moved up from the basement. The plastering had been done, and all the finished carpentry work. Nothing was painted, of course. But all the electrical, everything was in. It was livable upstairs now, and then we had to buy furniture.
Oh, boy.
This was an interesting block. On the south end of it, we had a wealthy couple, and she was an alcoholic. I was telling you this last night.
Right.
And he belonged to, I think it was the Vancouver Club, and he went to a meeting one Thursday a month. And then she called the taxi to come with the bottles of liquor after he'd gone out of the house.
Oh, dear.
And she, their name was Palmer.
Palmer,
yeah. I forget their first names.
Hmm.
And, I always called her Mr. and Mrs. Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
And they had an adopted daughter, Nan, who'd gone to Crofton House and everything and had every advantage, and they loved her dearly. But she married a cowboy.
Oh.
She went on a holiday up to the caribou, met and married this cowboy.
Oh.
And had three kids.
Oh, my.
And lived up there. For all I know, she may still be there. Mm-hmm. But they were, the kids used to come down and visit Grandma and Grandpa, and of course they'd been used to roaming free.
Oh, yeah.
Up there. And they didn't respect other people's property. They just went running through everybody's backyard or front yard, whatever. They were very nice children. Mm-hmm. We certainly haven't kept up with them.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that where the Kings moved?
The Kings moved. Well, they moved it. They bought that house, I believe, when Mr. Palmer died.
I see.
And they renovated it a bit, and they finished the upstairs. Mm-hmm. But it had been built with nothing but the best of materials.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm not sure how long. The Kings were there for quite a while with their two boys, and we used to have wintertime block parties down there. Pete could play the piano.
Oh.
They had a beautiful old piano, and we'd have a dinner and a sing-song.
Oh, how wonderful.
And everybody, I think we bought turkey and roast beef. There'd be 18 or 20 people there.
Right, yes.
And everybody chipped in money, and then if there was anything left over, we put it in the Sally Ann kettle.
Oh, nice.
And we did the same thing around the corner with the Virtues.
Oh.
Who had a, later on, they had a swimming pool. He's a dentist. He is my dentist.
Oh.
Here's one of our block parties. Here,
oh, wonderful.
What we had swimming.
Uh-huh.
At Virtue's pool, and then you went home, got dried off, and brought your smoking barbecue down to our backyard.
Oh, that's interesting. So your backyard became the scene of...
Well, at that time it was...
Oh, I really...
These are all backyard.
You have these. This is exactly what I want. It's block.
Are they? Well, you can have them.
Well, I can give them back.
Well, and here's some... this is a... one of the last ones we had, because Gordon Pither across the street.
Great. I know Gordon.
And he huffed and puffed to get his little barbecue going.
Oh, my. So do you have them every year without fail?
We don't do it anymore.
I see.
Our latest ones are over at Mitchell's, because they've got a very nice backyard.
Oh, good.
And they remodeled their house and made it much bigger. And they've got a huge kitchen family room. If it gets rainy, you can go indoors.
Excellent.
Because here's last year when Jerry Parker sold next door.
Oh, yeah.
It must have been raining because here we are all inside.
Yeah.
And here's your neighbor, Robinson.
This Robinson,
yeah. Well, she was back to back with Jerry.
Right.
And he requested that we invite Robinson, whom we knew.
Yeah.
Because they were great people as far as we were concerned.
Sure.
Very nice.
Sure is.
And every year they had a noisy outdoor do in July, and they would warn us of it, and then they'd come around with cookies the next day.
Oh, that's nice. Yes, that's right. We have the block party every year.
And we don't have that anymore.
Oh, yeah.
But these are all of the same idea.
Mm-hmm.
This is our back garden. There's the pool there.
Oh, my.
Virtue's pool.
That's the Virtue's pool. Now, where exactly is that? On Marine Drive?
Next to King's.
Oh, really?
King's is on the corner, and it's on Marine Drive.
I see. Oh, good.
And they were very friendly with the Kings, and they fitted in. Well, it was my idea. I asked them if we could use their pool, and of course, there was no problem.
Oh, excellent. Oh, that's really nice. And so do we have a year?
Now, of course, I didn't bother 89. Writing names on the back
that's
of things.
Right. That's all right. Do you have a name or?
Backyard Barbecue 89. This is at our house.
Year. Oh, this is at your house.
This will be the, and then they go home.
Oh, okay.
I think it was
maybe scan those two.
3 till 4:30 or something to swim, anybody who wished. And then 5:30, bring your own barbecue. There'd be a pall of smoke coming down the street. Because we only had a little barbecue.
Right. Oh, that's great. Excellent. I'll take those for sure. And
I probably 89.
That says, yeah, that's 89 as well.
Well, that, so those two would go together.
Yeah, those two. Okay.
And of course, I haven't got any. Oh, here's 75.
Oh, good.
Oh yeah, Arnie had dark brown hair in those days, and this this was Jack Young, who where Duthie's live now.
Oh, for goodness sake.
And I have no idea if even if they were older than the rest of us. I don't. They were here when we moved here.
I see.
So that's 75.
Okay. And where was this one?
This girl?
This whole...
It's our backyard.
It's your backyard.
Oh, yeah. Yes. They're all our backyard, so or virtue swimming pool.
And this person is...
That's what I'd like to know. She's in three pictures.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know who could identify her unless Burl.
Yeah.
Because there's Burl.
Is this her?
Well, she's got the same outfit on in three pictures.
Oh, well, that's good.
So I have, and originally there were people who lived where Pithers are, you know, when it was a smaller house. Mm-hmm. Now I know that this is my husband's sister, Janet Dunn, and she never married, and she died in 78, so this would be 75 or earlier, and this is our, this is Denise, our daughter.
Oh, for goodness sake.
And,
Well, I think it's been going that long. That's great.
Yeah, well, Ellie Doherty started it when she lived across the street. July the 1st was a nothing day in the middle of the week.
Right.
And we decided to have a potluck barbecue in her backyard.
Oh.
And everybody brought, everyone was invited. And everybody came except old Mrs. Pinder, who lived where Esau's are now.
Right.
And she sent a dozen bananas.
Oh.
But there was a baby, and I forget whose baby it was, because our kids were, they were little, but they were not babies, but somebody had a baby, because the baby was 9 months old up to Peterson's, I guess.
Oh, my goodness.
Although none of us were terribly old at the
time.
No,
at the time, exactly. Really great. So, let me...
But this was last year, 2000. June 2000. Have I written on it? Farewell party for Jerry Parker at Mitchell's, June 2000.
Oh, yeah.
These two go together.
That's good. And who was Jerry Parker?
Jerry Parker here.
Oh, yeah.
His wife died. And he lived in the house till... The next June, I guess she died in November or October 99. And he's living up in Kerrisdale in an apartment now.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He's 90 years old.
Oh,
he's straight as a rod.
Isn't that wonderful?
And he's still driving, but he very carefully
thought
out where he was going to buy.
Oh.
Because he figured that they would lift his license eventually. And he wanted somewhere where he could walk to a supermarket for groceries and have them delivered. So he walks down the IGA. Well, he doesn't now. He's still riding his car.
Yeah, it's too bad they closed that one up in Kerrisdale. That was handy, wasn't it?
Well, yes. It was too small, of course.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Well, don't you remember when there was a Safeway where London Drugs is now?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
And they didn't do enough business.
It's amazing, isn't it?
And yet there were two, there was an elementary school, Quilchena, and there was Point Grey Secondary. So there were children in the neighborhood, but not enough to warrant Safeway's participating.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, well, I'm really pleased to have this kind of picture. And I want to look at those. And
oh, these are our own place.
Oh, for goodness sake, look at the snow.
Here's the bulldozer clearing our lot.
Oh, good.
This would be 1946.
Oh, for goodness sake. Oh, my goodness.
And here's the lot before it. Here's the...
Before, and there's that stump.
Yeah, there's a stump that goes with the bulldozer.
Oh, isn't that amazing?
And here's... We moved into the basement when it looked like this.
Oh, really? And you couldn't live upstairs?
See, it's not, not finished.
Oh, that's
no.
Right. It's just tarping.
We sealed it off, so Bill put huge 4x8 sheets of cardboard, corrugated cardboard, to block off the stairs to the upstairs. Uh-huh. So what heat we had didn't go upstairs.
That's good, yeah. Oh, that's amazing. So your bedrooms then are basically downstairs, the extra bedrooms.
We have two downstairs. Mm-hmm. Right under the dining room here.
I see.
And then there's a family room, you might say, under the living room.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of it is laundry room, furnace room, theoretically a work area, an office for Bill.
Oh, yeah.
It was Denise's little nursery when she was born, and all done up nicely in clown linoleum and pink.
Oh, yes.
And then we had a sawdust burner.
Oh, you
and
did.
There was one room with the sawdust was in, the under our bedroom.
Uh-huh.
And we had just a little, for heat, we had a little sawdust burner in the where the furnace is now.
A pot-bellied stove kind of thing?
Yes, well, and it had the hopper.
Yeah, we
and then we got a furnace, a sawdust furnace in with a big hopper. And the problem with that is I was pregnant and I couldn't lift the buckets of sawdust up to fill it. So he bought me a smaller bucket.
Oh,
well, that was fine, but it took all day to...
Yeah, oh dear. Oh, yeah. Oh, well, you had to work. You had to, you know...
And this is a trench.
Oh, that is good.
It's hard to see.
Now, this is a Volkswagen bug, right? Is that a Volkswagen?
No, it's no, it not. It's a not. Dodge.
Oh, it's a Dodge. Look
yeah.
at that. Well, when was that? I wouldn't mind that picture.
No, wait a minute. Let me take a look at it. Who's that shoveling the snow?
I
is it me?
Know. I can't tell.
Yeah, I guess it's me. I thought it looked like Denise, but it's me.
It's a Dodge.
We had an accident in that Dodge on May the 1st. '49. Yeah, it was before we had any kids.
Oh, for goodness sake.
May the 1st, 1949.
Oh, for goodness sake.
We were married in '46.
I see.
And this is quite interesting. It's hard to realize what it is.
Okay.
That is a 9-foot trench that Bill dug. There's the front
goodness.
Of our house. Can you see that?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
That was for the sewer line.
Oh, my goodness.
And he should have known better. He didn't shore it up. It was just 9 feet down to get to the sewer at the street level.
My goodness.
And
did he do it all by hand?
Yep. Oh, every last bit of it. No wonder he's got a bad back.
No wonder. Yes.
Yeah, May the 15th, 1949.
You had an accident.
We
with
had
that
an
thing.
Accident with that car.
Uh-huh.
And Bill was laid up for... He felt there was no seat belts in those days.
Oh, right, that's right.
And we were hit on the right rear.
Mm.
The car flipped over. We were going to a christening.
Oh, my.
And they were all dressed up.
Oh,
and
dear.
I had cakes in the back seat.
Oh, no.
And my brother was with us. And fortunately, his wife and new baby had decided to stay home and not go to this christening. It was the christening of our nephew.
Oh, yeah.
And instead of going to the christening... I went to the hospital with Bill in the ambulance. He flipped out of the car, and the car rolled on top of him.
Oh, my gosh.
And all I remember is I wasn't hurt, but I flipped into the back seat. I was sitting in the passenger seat, and somehow or other I landed in the back seat. My brother was already in the back seat.
Mm-hmm.
And I got out of the car, and Bill was yelling, "Get me out of here, get me out of here."
Yeah.
And I was pushing on the car. Of course, I couldn't budge it.
Yeah.
But a whole bunch of people came up. It was 37th in Ontario.
Oh,
apparently,
right.
They had had other accidents at that corner.
Oh, dear.
And they rolled the car off him, and he stood up and then slumped.
Mm.
And it's a good job he did, because he had 12 broken ribs.
Mm.
And if people had pulled him,
yeah.
they would have punctured his lungs.
Yeah.
Anyhow, we got him off to hospital, and then we were still living in the basement. And when he came home, I had one of these doors I put down under a mattress for him, and I had visitors every day. In those days, they ran accidents in the front page of the Province, weekend accidents, and I spent a lot of time answering the phone and then preparing for our visitors. At night, he had visitor after visitor after visitor, and I had to make tea. And
interesting.
And one night, my father came, who'd been in the First War, and a Jack Eagle, who lived across the street, who'd also been in the First War, came to visit Bill. Well, Bill and I might have not been there. The two of them got talking about the First World War.
That's interesting.
It's been a good life here.
Yeah, it has.
Very good life.
Very interesting.
And then we had very interesting neighbors where Marshalls are. Their name was Allison. They were the ones with the parrot.
Oh, right. The ones with the parrot.
Yes. She had lost, I don't know whether it was her right or left, I think it was her left arm, due to First World War injuries. I believe it was amputated at St. Paul's Hospital in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
But she smoked like chimney.
She'd
tuck a lawnmower up under her chest. Yeah. And push it with one arm in her chest.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Mow the lawn.
Oh my goodness.
And she did everything. She was a delightful English lady. With this darn parrot named Polly.
Yeah.
Of course. Is a parrot ever named? And now this was after the children were 3 and 4 and that, and the parrot be out on the front porch in its cage. And they would tease it, you know, and have it getting mad at them. And then she'd invite them over, and she'd put the parrot on this brass table and then beat a tattoo out in the darn parrot and whistle. And the parrot would dance.
Oh, my.
It was a nice parrot.
Oh.
And they had a lot of parties at their house.
Oh.
He was a customs officer. And somehow or other, they managed to have an awful lot of liquor in their house. I don't know whether it was confiscated liquor or where it came from. I never did ask, but they didn't mind giving it to you.
I do. They weren't ashamed of having it.
Yeah, oh, you had some wild parties there.
Oh, my goodness.
And next door, or two doors down, there was Baptists, and they put their nose up.
Uh-huh, of course.
So they went, and the house has been renovated several times, I mean, with Marshall finishing it. The Scotts lived there for a number of years with their three children, Peter and True Scott.
Right, I know them well, actually, still.
And I don't know anything about, well, Kurtz's house, where Don is still there. Had originally been owned by the Hudson Bay Company. They kept that house for managers they transferred here. Until it was empty one time, around about Christmas, and it froze up the upstairs, and water poured down into the down the stairs, and I don't know how much damage it did. I think Bill was the one that, I don't know who he notified, but we noticed it anyhow. And they fixed it up and then sold it after that.
Oh, they did.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't. We used to get their mail, and so I just wondered what had happened to the Kurtzes.
The Kurtzes.
Yeah.
The Kurtzes,
is it? Kurtz.
No.
57. 60.
Kurtz is, Don Kurtz is still there.
Oh, he's still there. Okay.
Yeah, his wife died.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
A couple of years ago.
Oh.
And one of his sons, and then his daughter is in North Van, and the other one's on the island, I believe. He's thinking of selling because it's a 4-bedroom house.
Oh, yeah.
He's very active in Point Grey Golf Club.
Oh, is he?
Has been for years, both he and his wife.
Oh.
They're both golfers.
Oh. Great.
But he's in some of these pictures, and so is she.
Oh, good.
Well, that's Pat Kurtz there.
Oh, yeah.
There's Laurel March.
All right. I've never met her.
Arnie Virtue, the dentist around the corner.
Oh, yes. Oh, for goodness sake.
And I don't know, but I think that's my daughter, Barb.
Oh. Well, that's great. It's 89,
right? Yeah. Don't ask me why I didn't write on the back of them, because I know better.
I know. I did the same to get lazy.
Yeah, that's Burl March there.
Oh, yeah.
And Diane Virtue, she's not small.
Oh, I see. Hmm. Interesting. I have to get good-looking, clear pictures at good high contrast. That's what.
What are you going to do with all these things?
Well, illustrate the text, you know, talk about.
What are you writing?
A general social history of Dunbar and telling what it was like in the old days. And
where were you before you moved over onto Olympia?
We were on 12th Avenue and Blanca. And they said they were going to put towers in there. And so they said we better sell before, you know, these towers came. And so we thought, well.
The towers have never come.
Never came to that area. No. But the.
But think how lucky you were to come to Olympic Street.
Yes, we were very lucky.
Yeah.
Yes, it was the only house with an L-shaped living room.
Oh,
most
yeah.
of the houses have cross-hall dining rooms, you know.
Uh-huh.
And we needed one because they have this grand piano. We needed to have the L-shape to mm-hmm. take this big piano.
Oh, yeah.
So that worked perfectly. Uh-huh. Evidently, they had not been that way originally.
Yeah.
Quite.
Well, were you here when Finns lived? Behind us here, Ken
familiar.
And Alice Finn, and they had two mm-hmm. daughters, Marion. Well, I guess the two mm-hmm. girls are still alive.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Marion and Arlene.
Oh, I don't know if I remember them.
They were here for quite a while.
Mm.
Well, they built the house, I believe.
Oh, I see.
He was a chartered accountant, but he was also a handyman.
That's right. I think I remember something before there was the Hartleys came in. Was that the Hartley's place?
Now, did Black spy from Ken Finn? After his wife died, he sold.
Mm-hmm.
But the kids had left home by the time he sold.
Oh, I see.
He lived there by himself for quite some time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see.
And then, where Tim kept. Kepke's, which is next door. Kepke's. Robinson's lived there. Well, right. Kepke's, who Tim still owns it, I believe.
Yes, that's right. They were renting it. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Oh,
pretty
yeah.
Pretty good deal.
Oh, sure.
Such a long
Well, they
time.
Were friends of it.
Oh, they were.
Yeah. And I think if he comes to town, he stays there. Because in the days when I used to collect, I went around, I was collecting around here, and I went to Lola. And Tim Kepke was there. I hadn't seen him since he was a kid.
Right.
He was visiting Lola.
Isn't that interesting? Well, I have to interview Lola, too, because she's
probably
she's
got
some
good
because her sister's nearby, and she's got...
Was her sister Betty near here somewhere?
Yeah, down in Southland.
So they lived next... When the two girls were growing up, they lived next door to Bill's brother on 57th, near Marine Drive.
I see.
And they had horses in the backyard.
That's right. So, tell me, let's see, shall we keep going here? And I have to...
What else do you want?
I want your the names and phone numbers of your daughters.
No, I don't hear very well.
I need your daughter's phone numbers?
My daughter?
Yeah, your daughter's name and phone number if she lives near here. Barbara.
Well, only Barbara lives here.
Oh, Barbara.
She's Dr. Barbara Dunn.
Oh, really? Doctor? What is she doing?
She works at Seymour Medical Clinic. She's a family physician.
Oh, how wonderful.
And she's 222-006.
006.
No, wait a minute. 3006. 222-3006.
3006. Barbara, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, Denise is a lawyer in Calgary.
Oh, she is.
The oldest. And the middle one, whom we talked to yesterday, is in Germany with her husband.
Oh, my goodness.
And, we're joining up with her, not Frank, but her, in October for a short. This will be our swan song.
Oh,
you know we just can't get around anymore.
No, it's hard, isn't it? Yeah.
So that's our three kids, and I don't know what.
Great.
Well, your
we
kids
have three
are
girls too.
Yeah, I know, but they're younger.
Yes, they're younger because Denise was a babysitter.
Oh,
for
I
our
see.
Kids.
Oh.
Yeah, for a couple of times.
Uh-huh. Well,
yeah.
She graduated from Dalhousie in 80, I think it was.
Oh. That's a long way away to go.
Well, it wouldn't take her at UBC.
What?
But Peterson, he was a social credit MLA, and mm-hmm. I think his name was Peterson. He became Minister of Education at mm-hmm. UBC. And she went back after 5 years for a qualifying year. She'd been out for 5 years working at the aquarium. She decided she wasn't going to get anywhere at the aquarium.
Yeah.
She went back for a qualifying year, uh-huh. and they still wouldn't take her. Her marks weren't high enough. And this, God, I'm sure his name is Peterson.
Uh-huh.
He phoned Dal. He says, just a minute. Uh-huh. He phoned Dalhousie.
Oh, good.
She got in.
Wonderful.
And she was one of the best pupils they ever had because by this time she was mature.
Right.
She was having to do it on her own. We were not about to pay for it.
Uh-huh.
So she had to get bursaries and borrow money, etc.
Uh-huh.
Which we lend her money, but she has paid it back.
That's right.
It was, and she went to Calgary,
mm-hmm.
and she's married in Calgary, and she's now a partner in a law firm.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
And no kids.
No kids, yeah.
And as I say, she's got so much money, she doesn't know what to do with it.
Is that right? Isn't that amazing? Now it takes
well, she doesn't
with,
live,
without kids.
They don't live high, wide, and handsome.
No.
They're not jet setters.
No. Mm-hmm.
But when she comes to town here, she doesn't stay with us. She stays out in the Wedgwood.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, actually, it's better because then she's free to do what she wants.
That's right.
And visit with us, too.
Yeah.
And the two of them stay down there.
Oh, well, that's really nice. And Barbara, is she married?
Barbara has two little girls. There they are. There they are.
Oh, how sweet.
In
oh,
French immersion.
Oh,
there's
great.
The family there at our 40th wedding anniversary.
Oh, isn't that great?
50th, I mean, 50th. Not 40th.
Oh, my goodness.
Dave took the pictures. Dave Hill.
Dave
her
Hill.
Husband.
Dave
yeah.
Hill's her husband. Okay.
Yeah. He's in computers.
Oh. I'm going to touch on those, too.
Hate things.
You hate the things. I just love them. I'm terrible. I communicate 5 times a day. I'm
yeah, I know, but you see, I have no need for email.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, oh, that's great.
Now, that was taken December the 14th, 1996.
Oh, my.
We had a 50th wedding anniversary due at the boardroom at the aquarium, the Ralph Shaw room at the aquarium.
Oh, that's nice.
It's a good place for something like that because, although it won't be so much now the whales are gone.
Yes.
But if your guests were
yes.
bored,
yeah.
This was downstairs and it had a glass into the boardroom, you
mm-hmm.
see, and you could look at the whales
oh, I see.
If
that's
you were bored.
Nice. Yes, pretty
oh, no, it was a good deal.
Yes, yeah, really good deal. Do you remember, I have to talk about certain things now.
Sure.
I have to talk about schools, for instance. Where did the girls go to school, and what was it like? And do you
South
remember?
France?
Yeah, South France, okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was a new parent. I didn't. Uh-huh. I would have been afraid to complain in case they
That's
took
right.
it out on the kids. Having worked for the school board, I know that doesn't happen.
Uh-huh.
But I hadn't at that time.
Uh-huh.
They all went through Southland School and went on to Point Grey,
uh-huh.
where they weren't outstanding. I don't think any of them were. Well, Barbara got, wasn't until she got to university that she got a terrible shock.
Hmm.
Other people got A's and B's beside her.
Oh, I see. She was a smarty.
Well, I think they all were capable of it, but she was the one that, she was always trying to keep up with her sisters.
Oh, I see.
See, there's only 3 years between them.
Oh, really? Hmm.
There's 15 months between Barbara and Lorna and 22 months between Denise and Lorna.
Oh,
Lorna's the middle one.
Oh, I see. Lorna's the middle one.
So Barbara will be 40, she's born in 53, she'll be 48 in September.
Oh, my goodness. Huh.
Tempest fudgets to beat hell.
Yeah, yeah, right. For sure.
No, I had, talking about email, I've got no need for it.
No.
I mean, I talk to Denise on the phone occasionally, but I doubt that she would answer me back. She does answer the phone back. But, most of our friends are gone, because we're in our 80s. And
I was going to ask you what your birth date was, too.
Mine?
Yeah.
October 30th, 1919.
Oh, for goodness sake.
I'll be 82 well. In October.
Great. You're doing really well. Don't seem 82 at all to me. Amazing.
Well, I chose the right parents. My dad lived to be 89.
Ah.
And he had all his hair when he was 89,
too.
That
is good, isn't it? That's great. So the schools, you don't remember too much about them. They went through.
And I served cocoa and milk on once every 2 weeks at the lunchroom.
Oh, really?
Sometimes I imagine they. I'm not sure about milk, but we made up cocoa. It was very tasty too.
Oh yeah.
I forget how much the kids paid for it. But parents. I think it was a mix of some sort. And then they had the three sinks. You had to wash, rinse, and bleach, and then rinse again.
Oh, my. That's interesting.
And I was a tawny owl in the brownies.
Oh, good.
At Southland School. But I couldn't tell you when. Well, no. Denise, probably when Denise was 8, which would be in 58. I'd say 58, 59, and 60.
That's good. So, as a, you were brown owl or
tawny? No, tawny owl. The brown owl was a lady named Lucille Cole, and I have no idea what happened to her. She lived at the foot of Highbury Street. When they were putting that Highbury tunnel in, their place got very badly shaken up and cracked. And the city bought it from them.
Oh, interesting.
And the city brought 2 or 3 houses down there and repaired them and sold them. But I was in the house one time, and all her dishes were rattling, and,
oh my goodness.
And there were cracks. They stayed there through it all, but they would have lost money if the city hadn't made good.
Oh, that's good, isn't it? Interesting. Something I didn't know about.
The Highbury Tunnel.
Mm-hmm. Well, I knew about the Highbury Tunnel, but I didn't realize how it affected people. You
know? Down this end, my... Bill lived on 13th in Highbury before he married, and his sister and his father were there, and they had no problems, a little bit of noise, but no problems at all going on the northern slope there, and why, I couldn't tell you.
So it went all the way from 16th?
It goes from, right, yeah. Bill, where does the Highbury Tunnel go from? 10th Avenue?
Yes, I think.
Does it collect on 10th or 4th or?
No, it's down, I'm not sure if it's on Point Grey Road. It came all the way up.
It goes right, collects on Point Grey Road, does it?
Yeah.
Oh my.
And then it pumps all the way down here and over to Iona Island.
Oh my goodness, that's how it goes. Okay, that's good to know. Hmm. We're getting infrastructure and everything into this book.
You're going to have fun trying to get it together.
Oh, I know.
Well, we have a place on Gabriola Island, and the lady wrote a book called The People of Gabriola, and she did what you did. She went around and interviewed all the old-timers on tape. And then a lot of it she put in verbatim what they'd said, and... I found it quite interesting. Not that I know these people. Their descendants are still there.
Oh, my. Isn't that wonderful? This is a very stable neighborhood, too, that way. It's just amazing.
Oh, yes. It's only in the last few years that it started to move around.
Right.
The person who's been here the longest is Rocky Woldridge up in the corner there.
Rocky.
I don't know what his real name is.
Oh, well, I heard Bud, but I don't know. Rocky Woldridge.
And he's still there. He seems to be a bit of a recluse.
He's very much a recluse. Very much.
Yeah.
No windows anywhere in the house, as far as I can see.
And they're covered with Ivy.
Violet or Ivy, yeah.
See, and they own the lot next door, the Wooldridges, that Dundas
have.
Mm-hmm. And it was built, in, people named Ellett built it, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, built that nice house there.
Definitely.
Because they're quite friendly with the Divines.
Right.
The Ellets who built the house.
Mm-hmm.
And when we came here, there was a mother and daughter living in Divine's house.
Uh-huh.
And they were very hard up. Mm-hmm. Because Jack Young, who lived in DeVerdi's place,
uh-huh,
told me that if he gave the girl a ride downtown to work, uh-huh, she'd have 5 cents for coffee.
Oh my goodness.
They were evidently very hard up, and they obviously sold to Mrs. Divine.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Because she lived there. Her husband was up country. She lived there by herself.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she died, Bud and Isla moved in.
Oh, yeah. Well, we know them, of course, because
yes,
they're right behind us. Yeah.
I wasn't sure who you were directly behind.
Yeah, it was the Divine.
But you were in there when Mrs. Divine lived there. She was a charming, delicate, small bone. She was like Bud, small bone. And Bill worked for Bud's father up in the Bridge River cutting wood.
Oh, for goodness sake. So Bud's father was a lumberman too, huh?
Yeah, well, Bill was a kid doing just straight bull work.
Oh, I see.
When he got out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went up to Port Ellis and dug ditches.
Oh, my goodness.
Long before I knew.
Yes, people could get that kind of job. So where did he go grow up here, did Bill? And
oh, yeah, he was born in, both of us were born, I was born in North Island, but he was born in Vancouver here.
Oh, my.
And, which is very rare.
It is rare, yes.
Were you born in Vancouver?
No, San Francisco.
Oh. Who would leave San Francisco?
Yes, okay. It was too foggy where my parents were living. And
well, it used to be darn foggy here when we all had coal furnaces.
Exactly.
And I grew up with a wooden coal stove.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
That was in North Van.
Oh, I see. So that was when you had the wooden, but you had electricity here or gas?
Oh, yeah. I grew up in North Van, and as I assured our kids,
mm-hmm,
we always had a flush toilet,
mm-hmm,
electric lights, indoor plumbing,
mm-hmm,
well, that's a flush toilet,
mm-hmm,
and we had a toaster, one of these.
Hell yeah.
But we did have a toaster, and Mother had an electric iron,
mm-hmm,
but that's about all the
conveniences.
Yes, we didn't have a refrigerator.
Oh, that's interesting.
But
a lot of settlers here didn't have refrigerators either.
Probably not.
No. That was in the
They weren't that common.
Yeah.
Like Bill lived at 13th and Highbury, and mm-hmm, they had a refrigerator early on,
mm-hmm,
but they were in the minority.
Mm.
It had some sort of a thing on top.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. He really grew up in that area, too. That's great. Point Grey.
He grew up in Point Grey, yeah.
Yeah.
He moved from Mount Pleasant
to
13th. His parents built this house at 13th and Highbury when he was in grade 4.
Oh, I see.
And he went to Queen Mary School.
Oh, yeah.
And Langara, which is now Jules Canal.
Right.
And then Kitts. And then he wanted to be an electrician, so he went out to Tech.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Tech.
And then he decided he wanted to be an engineer, and he had to have junior matric, so he went to Baines Night School to pick up what extras that he needed.
Oh, interesting.
Which is a language.
Oh.
And so the easiest language to learn is one that doesn't change, and that was Latin.
Oh, for goodness sake. That's pretty interesting. Pretty hard, actually.
Well, it's just straight memory.
Yes.
The kind that you needed for
that's
grade
right.
12 exams.
I see. That's very interesting. Hmm.
His brother was a trekker.
Oh, really?
He had a brother 9 years older.
Oh.
And
isn't that interesting? Now, how about you? What did you do? Did you go?
Oh, I didn't go to university.
Mm-hmm.
I was a girl, my dear.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Oh, boy.
Well, I went to, during the Depression, my dad was always working. And I do remember people phoning the house looking. He worked at the American Camp. He'd worked there during the first war and then gone overseas. And I remember people phoning. I don't know who they were. Some people he knew, and he'd come away so depressed because he had no influence whatsoever into getting people jobs. But he did get me a job there in the factory in the, when I got through high school, because I couldn't see of any way of getting the university, living in North Van and no money. And then I picked up all sorts of night school courses, accounting, etc., etc., and worked in offices. And then when I was 45, I went back and worked in the elementary schools as a secretary and loved every minute of it.
Isn't that wonderful?
There's always something going on in an elementary school.
Right.
And the secretary is right in the center of it.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful?
I mean, the principal might be away. The secretary,
feels
in theory, runs the business end of the school. She, I don't know of any he's, is there to take the load off the principal so the principal can handle the kids and the teachers and the parents.
That's very good. I'm glad you said that. I needed this for the schools, because this kind of testimony, you know, we don't get from everybody.
It was a lovely job. I worked there for 20 years till I was 65. Of course, the last school I worked in was Osler, which is a very affluent school. Oh, my goodness, I was invited, or Bill and I were invited to a do down at the Four Seasons given by the Italian consul, Dr. Germano. And then we were also, he was instrumental in opening up the Italian, is it cultural center out east?
Right.
And we got invited there, too.
Okay.
Because I remember Davy Barrett spoke, and so did Iona Campanello.
Oh, right.